Well, follow me along with my calendar. How do you find the calendar? Well, you go to coasttocoastam.com. At the top of the page, click hosts, and then it says my calendar. And just look at all the events. I'm here out in the Midwest because it's going to be easier to fly for where I happen to be going. As a matter of fact, tomorrow morning I'll be at the Chicago Health Expo. I'm hosting a very special panel there. So I'm looking forward to that. As you know, I'm into alternative medicine, and this is a great place to talk about that. So those of you in the greater Chicago area, come on out and see me. And then we've got, of course, the TV programs we tape in Denver. But also, I'm going to be in Toronto the end of June. So those of you in the Toronto area, come on out and see me as I'm hosting a very special group of people. Alex Jones via Skype. David Hatcher-Childress will be there. Richard Dolan as well. It's going to be a fun event. It's at the Queen Elizabeth Theater in Toronto. I was there last year, and we just had a wonderful time. Then I'm in the Ozarks at a special conference. Again, information on that on our website. Capped off first week of September, I'm going to be in Cleveland. First time I've been in the Cleveland area for an event, so come on out and see me there as well. I'm going to come back in a moment. Open lines now for the next couple hours here on Coast to Coast AM. And, you know, Alex Jones, of course, is in the United Kingdom attending the Bilderberg Conference, if they let him in for anything. And he'll be our first hour guest with John Wells on the Saturday program. So let's check in with Alex and see what he's doing there. Let's go to the phones, open lines for the next couple hours. Jake in Moore, Oklahoma. We'll get Jake going there. Jake, and our condolences to everybody out there. How are you?
I'm pretty good, George. How are you?
Good, good. Thank you.
Okay, I wanted to talk to you about with when I was a young teenager, I had a trip to Mississippi, and we decided to go to the big field of the Vicksburg, the Battle of Vicksburg Memorial area. And one time, it was close to dusk. And we were going towards this big, it was like the memorial statue dome that they have there.
Okay.
It has all the soldiers' names and all the generals and everybody that was in that war, in that battle. And we were walking, and then all of a sudden, it sounded like I heard like two gunfires, and then I heard movement in the trees. And it was just like, it was really weird because, I mean, I'm a young teenager at the time, and it scared the life out of me. And I read up more on it, and I found out that there was people have heard that a lot, and people just can't explain it. It just comes out of nowhere. And because I was listening to your earlier part of the show about the activity that's in Gettysburg.
Right.
And I was trying to call in to talk to him about it, but I'm like, okay, I just missed it. And I just wanted to talk to you about that. If you have anybody that's ever called about them, like any activity in Vicksburg.
Yeah, we've had some there too. What do you think happened out there?
Well, from what I read up, I heard that, our former President Grant, at the time, he was a Civil War general, and he went through the whole state of Mississippi, and apparently he burnt the city of Meridian to the ground, and him and his soldiers, and then he was trying to do that the same way with Vicksburg, but even though the Confederates still lost the Battle of Vicksburg, he still tried to burn the city of Vicksburg to the ground, but I don't think he was successful in doing that.
So maybe there's a lot of negative energy out that way, Jake. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, looking back on it now, because me and my family on my mom's side, we have we see a lot of stuff. My mom, my mom's a medium, and me and my oldest sister were seers. I can see spirits a lot nowadays, but I can't communicate with them. But my mom says she was the same way when she was our age. She said you just got to learn how to channel it. And
yes,
then if you can develop that skill, you can start communicating with them. And they'll communicate back to you. Because my mom, that's what my mom does. And, like, I mean, our house is full of all kinds of spirits. At times it kind of overwhelms you and scares you a little bit.
Well, they're comfortable there, aren't they?
Yeah. I mean, well, I don't know if they're comfortable. I think they follow my little nephew. Because my nephew, he gets woken up at every morning. Like, no, this is no joke. He gets waken up at 3:36 in the morning every morning.
Every morning. Jeez.
Every morning. He'll run either into my room or into my mother's room, and he'll cry. And one time my mom told me that when he ran into her room, she looked in the hallway and she saw our entire hallway full of people.
Wow. So he's scared.
Oh, he's absolutely frightened. He doesn't know who they are. He said they just show up out of nowhere. Because, like, I mean, he's only 3 years old, and one time his mother, my sister, told him to draw a picture of what you saw. And he had like 18 pieces of paper on the table with nothing but these weird,
entities, like
Picasso-type faces.
That is strange. That's a great story, too, by the way. Thanks, Jake, for sharing that with us. We go next to the Alamo in Texas. Chris is with us. Hi, Chris. Good morning.
Good morning, George. It's great to be on. I was wondering, what's your opinion about President Obama signing the executive order to allow drone strikes in the U.S. border areas, as well as drone strikes on Americans? I was wondering, by any chance, if you were aware about his executive order, I believe it was in 2011, in which America would be declared as a possible war zone that is not off limits anymore to war.
Look, first of all, Chris, let me tell you, there's too many executive orders that have been signed, most of us don't even know what they are. They just get signed and hidden away and tucked away. I've got to tell you, this administration, I'm not a Democrat, I'm not a Republican, you all know that. But this administration right now is under fire. It's going to be interesting to see how this president weathers all this. Because I think this is just the tip of the iceberg. There's a lot of things going on. I mean, as far as the drones, using drones, I think our privacy rights are gone. I mean, have we advanced with technology this far that we have to rely on all these things? You know, I don't think so. But you know what? They do. They think they need drones to fly over Americans, 30,000 of them. They think they need to tap into the internet. They think they need to tap into your cell phones and, you know, gather all this information. And the president says, look, we're not listening to your calls. Obviously, they're not listening to all our calls. It's almost impossible to do that. But I'm sure there's some people out there, they're eavesdropping on. And the problem is whether they have thwarted a terrorist attack, which is what one representative said, it's still an invasion of our privacy. And would you give that up? Would you give that up under the guise of security? Benjamin Franklin said once, never do that. And we're going right down that road. Let's go to Andrew, Toronto International Line. Andrew, hello there.
Hey, how's it going, George?
Good, Andy. Good.
Yeah, I grew up in a house when I was, I guess, about 13 to maybe 18 years old. And I guess me, my brother, and my stepmom and my father lived there for about 5 years. 5 years into it, I really didn't notice much. I guess in my teen years, I was kind of very, like, preoccupied with, you know, music and high school and all that kind of stuff. But sure. I kind of caught on to the whole house after a while. But apparently, while I was doing my own thing, the whole house, it was terrorizing everyone else in the family. We had many, many, many different kinds of people come in, you know, voodoo, like Jamaican spiritualists. And
To try to cleanse the place?
Pardon me?
To try to cleanse the place?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We started off, I guess the family started off trying to cleanse the place with the Catholic Church because, you know, yeah, we were all Catholics. So they came in, they did what they had to do, and eventually I guess after a while, they couldn't really do much about it at all. So they told us that the people who were being affected by all this were probably, they had to go and see a psychiatrist. And that involved my whole family, not just my immediate family, you know, uncles, aunts, cousins, friends. And the main person involved was my brother, I guess. The whole thing was, there was three ghosts that were, I don't know if they're ghosts or whatever they are, but there were three entities, shadow figures. One was 7 feet tall, one was a bit shorter, one was a bit shorter than that. And there was another one, a ghost, who was, you know, really attached to my brother. But, and that's the whole reason we got this whole, you know, Catholic Church fiasco involved. They basically stopped talking to us and said, you know, my brother Joe had to go and get a psychiatric evaluation.
Yeah, so he thought he was off kilter.
Yeah.
See, so that's
after, after that, yeah, it just carried on for years and years and years until about 10 years into it when we moved out. But the whole thing was a complete disaster. I mean, we had this priest named Father Andrew who unfortunately passed away, I guess, about 6-7 years ago. And he was connected to the Vatican Church, and he was part of the paranormal sect of the Catholic Church. And he was, I guess, one of the more, I guess, I don't know how to say it, successful or someone you can connect to on a common ground.
Right.
But, you know, the whole thing was, in his eyes, it was, it's undocumented. This whole 10-year haunting has been documented on paper. And in his own words, it was, I don't know if it is or not, but it's one of the most documented paranormal cases in North America, which is hard for me to believe.
Why did they botch it, though, Andrew? Why did they botch it? You know, the exorcism or the cleansing just didn't seem to work.
I think it's because of where the property was. It wasn't more so the Catholic Church being able to botch it or not. I think it was more or less things that other people did that influenced what was there, and plus it was also on a part of land that in Canada a lot of Native American tribes, I guess clans or whatever, used to as like a trading post, like a highway. So there was a lot of spiritual activity to begin with, but on top of that there was a lot of things that these spiritualists think that people in the modern day did to bring about certain spirits. And they, you know, they followed my brother to British Columbia. He tried to get away from them there. You know, he'd be at work and a cement truck would just follow him without being turned on. Shadow figures walking through during the day. He's, you know, at nighttime for about like 10 years, the whole time, only in the summertime, not in the wintertime, but in the summertime. You'd hear blood-curdling screams from something coming from outside the house.
Jeez.
That sounded like a dying crow.
Were they trying to drive him nuts?
Oh, of course. Yeah, it drove him crazy. He couldn't sleep. You know, it was punching him in the night. It was, you know, moving the bed, poking him. You know, it was, and actually got to the point where, you know, he felt things going inside his body. You know, it sounds really crazy, but coming from a rational point of view, you know, everyone in my family is completely sane. It's not just us. It's other people too who felt this stuff. You know, like my grandfather is a pretty big guy. He's, you know, six foot tall, really big dude, you know, and he slept in our basement one night and, you know, it held his arm down and he couldn't get it up. But the whole thing started when my brother built a room in the basement of his house. When we moved into it, about 5 years into it, he separated the basement. As soon as that happened, it started focusing on him, right? It wasn't just so much the weirdness and the, you know, the general.
Just because he built a basement?
Yeah, no, he separated the basement into two rooms. So he built his own room in the basement. After that, it started targeting him, like after about 2 days.
Huh. I wonder if he like built it on some kind of haunted ground. Let me take one more call before the break. Jan is in Houston, Texas. Hello, Jan. Good morning.
Good morning, George. Good to talk to you.
You too. What's going on?
I wanted to suggest a program for you. I believe this is the like the 45th anniversary of the original Battlestar Galactica.
I think it is.
And the 10th anniversary of the remake. I attended a couple of comic book conventions, the Comic Con in Irving, and then a couple of weeks ago, Comic Palooza down here at the George R. Brown in Houston.
Yeah, that's a big one.
There was a little conference in addition called Galacticon, and Dirk Benedict was there, as was Richard Hatch and James Edward Olmos and Mary McDonald. And I just thought, well, gee, if you could get the four of them on talking about it, because I think next Monday you have a program about artificial intelligence and cyborgs.
Yes, we do. As a matter of fact, it's changing a little bit, but we're going to have a segment on that. That's right.
And I was also thinking that, you know, I've heard, I think, at least one or two or more of your guests talking about, you know, finding new planets in the galaxy, and we may have thousands of Earth-like planets in the galaxy, and just thinking of that, and the Battlestar Galactica premise that Caprica was perhaps a colony of Earth, and that they were part of the, I guess the plot was they were trying to find Earth after Caprica was taken over by the Cylons. It just, I don't know, seems like science and science fiction in that way is kind of coming together.
Well, we do, Jan, stories like that and shows like that, and we always will. So rest assured, those things will happen. Let's go to David in Vancouver, Washington. Dave, go ahead.
Hi, George. How you doing?
Good, Davey. How about you?
Hey, I've got a question for you, and it's probably a little help type of question. I love your show and Coast to Coast, and the Coast to Coast family is like a family of mine, and so I'm reaching out to these folks tonight. I sent an email to you, and I've written you in California. My wife and I run a shelter, and we're having to leave the building that we're renting, and it's also our home. And I'm looking for some advice. We're kind of at wit's end, and my wife's been through three breakdowns because of this. I need to pick up the knowledge of a fellow coast-to-coasters rather than just move somewhere and borrow money to do so. I'm looking for a way to take that money I have to borrow, build a contained structure that we can care for more animals, the lost and stray animals we care for my wife, and I'm also caring for my mother who has CIDP. And I'm not that knowledgeable in the way these things work, and I'm hoping a coast-to-coaster could say, David, this is the way you might want to look at going. I'm not a techie person, but I did post under our name, David and Sandy Elford, E-L-F-O-R-D,
okay,
on YouTube.
Sounds kind of costly, though, David. What do you think?
As far as building something?
Yeah.
I don't have an option. I have no place to go. I have to borrow money. I'm caring for a lot of animals. We've been doing this for 20 years.
Jeez. Well, who's going to lend the money? That's my question.
Well, I have a bank. Banks want to lend to me, but they want to lend to me only on a pre-existing stick-built structure. And I'm trying to find, there has to be a way, if I'm borrowing money, that I can use that to build a contained structure with maybe an enclosed deck area for the animals. We could live there, and I personally, over time, could do the interior so it meets my needs to care for my very sick mother, and care for my wife, and to continue her efforts in caring for the stray animals.
Sounds like you have a lot on your plate, and you're an animal lover as well. I'll tell you what, I'm going to put you on hold. Just give your name and address to Will. If anybody writes me with any suggestions for you, we'll pass it on. We'll be back. Well, here I am, squirreled away in the cave like the Wizard of Oz. You pull back the curtain, and there I am. Anyway, we'll come back in a moment. More open lines for you on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, back we go to the phones. Nick in Garden City, New York. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, Mr. Norrie. Thank you for taking my phone call, sir. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
I wanted to bring up something. The other week you had Wester Tarpley on to discuss the student loan crisis.
Yes.
As I want to give you a perspective here. I actually just graduated college myself. And I just want to say that I don't agree with him personally, because as a student, you know what you're getting into, and you know what, no one forced you to go to college or major in that subject. And I'm sorry, but I feel that, you know, they have to take care of that responsibility themselves, and the taxpayer or anyone else shouldn't be forced to bail them out.
One of the problems with that, Nick, in one of Tarpley's concerns is what could be the high interest rate. And I'm sure not even you would want to pay that. You know, my son's doing it. I'm helping him. I've got my daughter. She's still wrapping up her student loans. It really, you know, with, and here's his point, with the bailout that has gone on over the years, the money given to banks, why can't they help out students and, you know, reduce the interest rate almost down to nothing? So
well,
they
the thing
can,
is this, oh, I was just going to say, Mr. Nard, the thing is, I don't even agree with those bailouts. The thing is, as myself, I personally don't agree that no one should have their money taken or given to someone else by force. As you can probably imagine, I'm a libertarian. I don't agree with the idea of using force to take someone else's money and give it to someone else or vice versa or whatever reason.
Sure.
I mean, I just don't agree with that personally. I mean, if you really want to help people out today, what you want to do, you need to get the economy fixed and rebooted and started, how whatever ways we can do this, because people need jobs. You can't, the best way to pay off your loan is you have you get a job and you work your way to pay it off. That's the way to do it. I mean, as we all know, our economy is not getting any better, and that's just the truth, sir. I mean,
well, here's the problem. And one, for you're absolutely right. Nobody forced you to go to college. Nobody pulled you kicking and screaming. You did it on your own, except a lot of younger people, Nick, when they're in school, don't understand the ramifications of how much debt they're really taking on.
Right,
you know, when you
right.
they borrow for the room, the tuition, the food, and if they go away from a home, let's say, to a different city like my granddaughter's doing, that really adds up in time. And I think that's one of their concerns that,
right.
you know, kids want to go to school. They want to get an education, which is critical for this country. We should be doing everything we can to do that. But I don't think a lot of people understand the scope of what they're borrowing until it's too late.
Well, and another problem is that, unfortunately, in high school today, a lot of kids, I mean, the high schools, they just push college on kids. That's all they do. That's all they do is just push it. College, 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 college. They don't talk about any alternatives. College isn't for everyone, and that's okay.
That's true.
It's honestly okay. Mm-hmm. And you know what? It doesn't make you an idiot or a stupid person if you didn't go to school. Some of our best leaders and inventors and scientists never stepped foot in a college, and they did just well. Let me give you an example.
And there's a lot of quality jobs out there that do not require a college degree.
That's very true. Thank you for bringing that up. And one other thing, sir. Happy birthday.
All right. Thank you, Nick. So you do one thing for me. 5 years from now, call me back if you're still paying your student debt and say, you know what? You guys might have been right.
You have a good night, Mr.
All
Nick.
Right.
Take care,
too. You too, Nick. Let's go next to Dino, first-time caller out there in Iowa. Welcome to the program. Hey, Dino, thanks for calling.
Hey, you bet. Say, I got a story for you about a cursed object. 9 months ago, I bought this house in Bondurant, Iowa, and I'd been in the deliverance demon casting. I'm a born-again Christian for 7 years. I've been out of it for about 3 years now. But, you know, occasionally I'd help somebody in the last few years. But anyway, so I bought this house, and I had to remodel it. And the first time I came inside the house after I got the keys, the contractor came down the steps, and someone else came down the steps right after him. And when I thought, well, what's going on here? I looked up there, and I could just feel something staring at me. And it had the most hatred projection. And so I thought, oh, this is nothing. This is just some demonic thing left over. And so I commanded it out in the name of Jesus. And it ended up, when I got home to my other home, my wife said, you know, there was a demon in the house, and it spoke to, you know, my six-year-old son. And so then I realized, well, hey, these things are, you know, they're actually coming to my house now.
They mean so, business. Yeah.
Anyway, so this went on. I figured, well, I'm just going to go through prayer with the whole house. And so I did, and it didn't seem to do anything, and pretty soon this went on day after day. I began this battle with these things, and I mean, it was pretty bad. I mean, they literally urinated on the floor. And I thought, we thought, me and the contractor thought, oh, well, it rained the night before, so we tore out all these walls and searching for moisture and couldn't find anything. I says, man, this smells like just like some urine. And we thought, well, maybe it was from the animals, you know, water, you know, that had mixed in with some of the animal urine, because the house was pretty tore up when I bought it.
It wasn't, okay.
And, so anyway, we tore up the floors, and this stuff appeared three separate times. And one night, all the lights went out, and the contractor went downstairs, and he said that the main breaker was still on, and all the other breakers were shut off. So there was just all kinds of stuff going on. I hired a lady to help clean. The place was so filthy, and we tore down all the ceilings. And she literally ran out of the house. She said that there was someone running up down the steps as fast as a human.
Was it worth picking up that property, Dino?
Well, it is now. But what happened was, after 2 months, I was ready to pull my hair out. I can't believe it. I'm a Christian. I can't, you know, I've helped all these people.
Yeah.
And I can't help myself. I called my buddy out on the East Coast, and so I'm telling him the story, and he says, and there was way more things that were going on than what I've told you. So anyway, he says, as you're telling me this, the Lord says there's a cursed object, and you'll have to find it, and once you pray over it, it'll break the curse. And he said there's three demons of hatred that are in the house. And I already knew there was three, but anyway, so... I'm like, oh, great. You know, I'm getting sarcastic. I'm a little upset with maybe the Lord or whatever, you know. And
sure,
and,
I can understand.
I'm saying, am I going to have to tear every wall out of this house to find some stupid voodoo doll, some freak put in here, you know, 50 years ago or something? You know, and he says, you'll know it when you put your hand on it. You'll feel it. And they'll try to hide it from you, but you've got to have to be really sensitive. So I've been through the inside of the house over and over for the last 2 months battling this thing. And so I decided to go outside, and I was looking at trees, rocks, the fence, and I went around to the front yard, and there's an old hand pump well. So I put my hand on it as I'm walking, and I'm by it, and I let go, and I thought, hey, I kind of felt something weird. So I put my hand back on it, and I could feel black negative energy. And so I said, in the name of Jesus, I break the curse off this. And as soon as I got that to that point, all of a sudden, I realized that there was like a snake form wrapped around my whole body, squeezing me. Jeez. And I guess it was like my spirit, that it just broke off. And it broke off, and it just flew through the air. And I couldn't see it with my naked eye, but I could actually feel it. And as it was leaving off of me, leaving off the house, leaving off the property, and just went up into the clouds and vanished. And I just felt the most incredible-est peace. You know, and I knew I had broken that curse. And so I called my buddy on the East Coast, and I was telling him, and he says, as you're telling me this, he says, the Lord's showing me this. And this house was built in 1925. And he said, shortly after the house was built, the original owner that built it, a man came and placed his hand on that well. And he was a Satanist, and he hated the owner of that home. And he cursed that well and that land. And through that cursing came three demons of hatred, and they had literally tormented every single person that had ever lived in that house ever since.
Dino, and he must have been so strong with evil and negativity in order to pull that off. Great story. Let's take a few more calls before the top of the hour, but we've got still another hour of open lines to go here. Lewis in Yuma, Arizona. Lewis, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Happy birthday, George. How you doing?
Thanks, Louis. Good. All is well.
Good. I just had, if I may, a couple of things I found in the Bible I wanted to share with you. On Douay Rheims, which is an old English Bible copied from the Vulgate, 8:26 Proverbs, it says, God created the earth and the poles. Now, if you go to the King James, it says, earth and the fields. It's sort of interesting. How would they know there was poles? Proverbs was written, of course, probably around 700 years before Christ. The other thing that I found that I found was quite interesting was in 2 Peter 3:8, it says, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, A day to the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is 1 day. So this, of course, may answer some of the questions the scientists have about the age of the planet. And the third thing I was going to ask you about is I did some research on Sodom and Gomorrah. I don't know if you've seen that, but it's there's been a few trips there. And, of course, Josephus talks about it, how you could still talk, his first century historian, how you could still pull the fruit off and it would just turn into ashes off the trees, you know, that was there.
I think that was a nuke, don't you?
I don't know, but what I've done, what I'm researching is there's been a few trips there and they pull these nuggets, these sulfur nuggets out, and they've tested them at the Intertech Sun City Lab in England and the Galbraith Labs in the United States. And there's another lab that has tested them. It's pretty much, it's all out there. And there's trips going on right now over there. And these nuggets are testing at 94% sulfur, where ones from volcanoes, which I study a lot,
right,
come out about around 30 to 40%. So they said it's nothing from this planet. And these nuggets that they pull out, the sulfur nuggets.
What about an asteroid strike?
Say again?
What about an asteroid strike?
Could be. But they're saying, the scientists that we have that have studied this at the Galbraith Labs and the Inner City SunTech, the last that is not of this planet, and that it the nuggets still ignite. They were showing where they could still ignite them just by putting a match to them. They glow in a blue flame. They put one in a spoon, and it melted the spoon. That's how hot it got. So something I thought I'd share with you. There's other things, but I'd be here all night.
All right. Well, thanks for sharing that. I think Sodom and Gomorrah, I think it was a nuke explosion that vaporized everybody. That's what I think happened. Ross in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hello, Ross. Take it away.
Hey, George, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, listen, a weird story. I've actually really never talked about it publicly or anything like that. I've told a few people, but it's the first time I'm talking about it publicly. It's definitely pretty crazy because it happened when I was actually listening to your show.
Really?
I've been listening to your show for probably 5 years, man, since I got to senior year in high school. I just started listening to it, so I'm always fascinated with people's stories, and it's a great show. So anyway, I went to college my freshman year, and I left home, obviously.
Yeah, I'm
and
losing,
my
yeah,
mother
stay on the phone there, because I'm losing you.
What's that?
I said I'm losing you on the phone. Are you moving around or what?
Oh, no. Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Yeah, so my brother started sleeping in my room, and one night, sleeping in the room, and he sees an orb moving around like a flashlight on the, and it comes to the bed like real close, and it comes in his face and it shuts off, and he goes screaming out of the room, you know, petrified.
Oh yeah.
And goes to talk to my parents and says, you know, I'm not going back in there, and he wanted them to call. So I heard the story and I came back.
I lost you. I lost you again. We got to get you a better connection. Let's go to Donna in Vancouver, British Columbia. Hello, Donna.
Hi, George. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you.
Good. And I want to wish you first a belated happy birthday.
Well, thank you.
Okay. I have a short, freaky story to tell you.
Okay. Love to hear.
Kind of a freaky story. And I have a quick question. So anyway, I get up one morning, and on my armoire, I have a picture of my favorite cat. He died about 8-9 years ago. So I have this small picture. It's in a frame, but not a regular kind of frame, like with the glass in the front. I can't really describe it because it wouldn't make sense to you. But anyway, I get out of bed, and I look at this thing, which I don't always do, but because I know it's there, and then I see that the picture is out of the frame, and I didn't touch it. So I just stared at it, and I thought, well, what is going on here? So I go in the bathroom for a minute. I come back out. I go to make my bed. So I looked at the picture, and the frame You're not going to believe this, but the picture was back in the frame, but it was sideways. There's only one way you can. There's only one way you can stand that frame up. It has the little protruding part on the back where it leans a bit backwards. It's kind of hard to describe, but anyway, I was just shocked. And again, I sat on my bed and looked at it and looked at it and looked at it, and I was. It was so freaky. And then I realized that, well, I found my girlfriend. She's a very strong Christian, and she knows that you can bring things home with you sometimes, negative things. And I told her about it, and she said, you probably brought something home. You could have. And then I thought about what possibly could have happened, and that was, this was like around Christmas time. And every Christmas, I put a decorated empty toy box in the community center, just a few steps away from my apartment. And I collect toys for needy children in the West End area where my neighborhood is. And people sometimes drop in their used articles that they think is okay, which is really not okay for gifts. But I end up bringing everything home. I sort things out. And along with the new items for gifts for children was a glass Santa Claus candle holder. And that was one of the older and used items in this collection this particular day. So she said to me, my friend said to me, she said, take that thing out of there, take it down to the garbage area, break it up, throw it away. So I did. I put the picture back, of course, and so far it's where it's supposed to be. So what do you think?
I think something very strange happened there. Pictures just don't move like that. Change?
No, and I don't take it out and put it back all the time. I mean, it's been there for so long that I don't really look at it every day. I just, it's there, so you get used to what is there, right?
Would somebody be playing a little trick on you?
But no one's here but me.
Nobody has access to get in?
No, because if this had happened like the night before, I would have noticed it. This is in the morning, just as I got up.
This is the cat's little way of saying hello.
I don't know. Anyway, the question I wanted to ask you quickly was, since we have chemtrails in the sky, don't they affect the people that are doing it to us?
Yes and no, because they may have the ability to either have some kind of antidote or they hightail it out of that city, because not every city is getting pelted every day. I'm going to come back in a moment. Final open lines on Coast to Coast AM.